thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have been in the scripture Luke 12, 1 through 12, and it's just been an amazing passage what God has given Tara to teach each and every one of us. If you haven't been able to listen to it, I'll go back to the blog. Or the podcast, what is it called, Tara? Go to Tara's Cultivating Hearts. It has been wonderful. So today we are going to finish up on the idea of fear and what causes fear in us and the seven signs that we discussed, and he already warned us, and then we'll need to know what we need to know. He will tell us. And right. So, Tara?
And you know, what we need to know comes down to our value.
Yeah.
It really does. The question we want to ask ourselves is, which life do we want to live in? Mm. Do I want to live in a life that's dependent on God, or do I want to live in a life that's dependent upon my fear of man and of what man can do to me? I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. A life in God where there's freedom, or in the fear of man and what man can do for me or do to me. And so this is ultimately what Jesus was saying to the disciples that day. And the message passage in my own telling now, because I'm at that point, in Luke 12, 1 through 12, as the crowds were gathering around, they were everywhere, you know, people. And some scriptures tell us that in the tens of thousands. So they were literally toe-to-toe, I mean, crowded. Yet Jesus' vision and focus was in giving this information to his disciples. It was critical that they hear these things. And he said to them, he said, watch yourselves. Don't be contaminated by the Pharisees. Don't go in with their phoniness. You can't hide your true self forever. You can't. You'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask. You need to know that eventually it's going to slip. It's going to fall off. If you whisper something in private, eventually and you preach something public, it will be eventually shouted from the rooftops. It's something that's going to get out. And he said, don't be silenced because of the bullies. Don't allow them, the religious bullies, to talk you out of it. I understand you're afraid of them. You're afraid they're going to kill you, but you need to be afraid of God. Fear God, because he's the one that can take your body and your soul. And then Jesus said, what about two little sparrows? They're just worth a little bit of change, just a little bit. And God never overlooks a single sparrow, not one. But he pays even greater attention to you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. The number of hairs on your head. Don't be intimidated by these religious leaders. You're worth more than a million sparrows. If you stand up for me among men, I'll stand up for you with God and the angels. But if you pretend that you do not know me, do you think I'm going to defend you before God and the angels? Granted, out of ignorance, you might reject me, mess up with me, but I'm not going to ignore. I can ignore that. But if you blaspheme or reject the Holy Spirit, that cannot be overlooked. When they drag you into the courts, before judges, before the police, don't be afraid what you're going to say, because you will be given what you need to say by the Holy Spirit. May God honor the telling of his word. This is just wow. And we finished up last time on the fears that show that we're putting too much focus on man. And I had two really good quotes that I really wanted us to hear. Max Lucado once said, worry makes us forget who's in charge. Worry is focused on self with time, your agenda. It's more important than God's. You're more concerned with pleasing self or others than pleasing God, and you may find yourself doubting God's judgment. That's what fear does. And worry is a form of fear. And then the Holman New Testament commentary said, fear controls. We have to understand, fear controls. Fear of pleasing others builds hypocrites. Excuse me. The fear of losing power causes us to forfeit our integrity. The fear of ridicule causes us to deny Jesus. The fear of poverty and want causes us to deify wealth. The fear of death and sufficiency makes us lose our trust in God. The fear of missed opportunities, not ready when God calls, is what happens. The fear of not getting all coming to us makes us take things into our own hands and not accept what God gives. The fear of family lets our family loyalty override our loyalty to God. Fear controls. So when we are allowing our lives to be in the mask of the fear of any of these, we are putting ourselves into bondage. It is a form of bondage. And ultimately, this is what Jesus is talking to them about. He is talking to them about getting out of bondage, to be free from that. Because in Christ, we are not to be in bondage. I recently had just like a major revelation on this in my life, in that in Christ, I have been given so much freedom that I just didn't realize how free I am. Like, I have been given the freedom to know that I can speak biblical truth to any person, male, female, child, it doesn't matter. And I can trust that the Word of God will speak. It's not me. I have freedom in that. I mean, I cannot even tell you the express freedom in that. I do not have to worry about who the person is, male, female, education level, or anything. I have been given the freedom that I trust the Word so much that I am not in bondage when it comes to speaking the Word of God. And whereas in some circles, they may say, well, you can't because you are a female, or you can't because you are this, or you can't because of that. Whereas in Christ, I've been given that freedom. And then I was thinking about that as well, and I thought, wow, in my marriage to Greg, my Greg has blessed me. Greg has never put me in bondage. It is a gift that he has given me. My husband has given me freedom that I have in Christ. And so when it comes to how God's created me, the gifts that God's given me, the talents God's given me, my husband has given me that freedom. He has never put me in bondage in how God intended to use me. And I was thinking, you know, really, God, that's ultimately why we don't want to wear masks. Because when I wear a mask, I'm putting myself in bondage, but I'm also putting somebody else in bondage. That's why he doesn't want us to wear them. Because it's rule-based, it's fear-based, it's control-based, it's keeping containment on someone or something or a situation, instead of allowing the freedom that we are intended to have in Christ in loving one another, serving one another, helping one another, all the things that God's called us to do. And if I'm in the mask, I'm in bondage. And if I'm in the mask, I'm putting them in bondage, because my bondage keeps me from being who I'm supposed to be in Christ with the people I'm serving. And so I just thinking through the conference and just a whole bunch of other stuff that's been going on, I've just really been blessed by the freedom of having that clear conscience that we read about on the last radio show. And so it's just, it's a beautiful thing, the gift that we give when we don't wear the masks, because it's that freedom from that bondage. So how can I get to the point where I'm not putting that bondage on somebody, or I'm not putting that bondage on myself? So what do we need to know? Let's look at what Jesus said to them, and that he tells them point blank the things that he points out. He says the masks will always be exposed. The religious masks will always, your true self cannot be hidden. Your true self will always be known. Even if man doesn't know it, God knows it, so it's not hidden, right? Absolutely. God is all-knowing. He's all-seeing. So I wanted to ask us ladies in here, what have you known about God that has given you freedom? What is a character trait, a promise, a command, something about God that you know as a truth that gave you freedom so that you were able to take a mask off? That's a loaded question.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
I think, is it Psalm 139, mm-hmm. that he knew us and he created us. So he everything that I have that's not a mask is how he created me to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that has given me so much freedom.
It's good.
I think that his purposes are so much higher above just me. Mm. Yep. That helps a lot, because it's not like the entire world is contingent on what I do, yet my job, my purpose in this life is to fulfill God's purposes for the earth. And so being a part of that plan, yeah, my screw-ups are unfortunate and they are detrimental to that plan, but at the same time, God uses everyone in his kingdom to accomplish the purposes of his kingdom. And knowing that he has something, a plan that's bigger than me, that I get to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it puts into perspective my life into the perspective of his kingdom.
That's good.
And
that's,
I think, really that good. Goes on to the plan too. You know, he knows the past, the present, the future. He has us in his hands. He's in control. He's sovereign. We forget that. I think we put him in a box.
Mm.
You know.
We do put God in a box.
But we do, like, we do mess up, like Janelle said, but he puts us back on that narrow and straight line, you know, if we're willing to be there.
Mm. That's good. I have really been thinking so much on the command that he gave when he was talking with the Pharisee, and he's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And that's because he is love. All right. It's the value. And that's what Jesus, he gives them the value. Here in this passage, he shows them the value. He talks about the sparrows. And he says, are they not worth a couple of cents? And yet he doesn't overlook the sparrow. The sparrow is able to come and go with the seasons and eat and drink and have its nest, and they eat their fill. And he knows when sparrow falls, and that he knows the hairs on her head. So I was really funny. I looked it up in research for the women's retreat because I thought it would be funny. I found out that a typical true redhead has 90,000 hairs on their head. Yes, somebody has researched this. Brunettes have around 120,000. Blondes have about 145,000. And so even the color of the hair determines, like, you know, how many hairs you have. And so God knows whether or not our hair is colored or not. So some of us may have blonde hair colored, but truly we're a brunette, you know, and somebody may have blonde hair, but they're colored a redhead. And so God knows the authenticity of even that mask that we wear. Is that funny? Yeah. I just thought that was funny. But what Jesus was telling them is, you have value. Mm. You have value. And I know that as I go in and I meet with people and we talk and we have conversations, ultimately, every choice in sin comes back to is their value is not placed in God. Their value is being placed in something else. It's because of a false pretense, a lie, or a mask that they've been told or persuaded into. I mean, they're not focused on their value.
I always think about the scripture, and I wish I could tell you where it is, where it talks about, you know, when we sin, we do sin against man, but we sin against God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that one always just cuts me right to the heart, because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know, not only sinned against whoever, whatever, but God.
Right. Yeah. I remember actually when I first was convicted of that.
Yeah.
You know,
me too. Like, and I can't remember that. That was how I was. She was like, oh, like, my goodness.
It's against God?
Yeah.
He's like, wow. I just was overwhelmed by that one. And so recognizing the value, that is the whole point. So he's talked to the disciples. He's showed them, I'm not listening to the crowd. I'm not focused in on the crowd. I'm looking at you. I'm talking to you. I've warned you. This is what you need to stay away from. Stay away from false religion, false, phony masks and things. This is what you need to know. Okay, if you're going to be afraid, fear God. Because man can take your body, but they cannot do what is core inside you. And if your core is right, you're with God anyhow. You're going to be in heaven. So as Paul says, you know, if I go, great. If I stay, great. Paraphrasing. and so making sure that we have that. So we have to recognize God's love, his love for us. And then the other thing that I really wanted to think about is that when we truly understand who we are in Christ, then that changes how we identify ourselves. And so I don't even know when God started doing this to me. I do not read scripture where I am not looking for a character trait of God. I am, every time I read the Word of God, I am trying to find a character trait of God. Because when I can understand his character trait, I can see how that has integrity. And because of the integrity of who God is and that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I can trust that character trait today in my life. And I pray that into my life because that gives me core, solid identity. I was reading about a pastor in the 1550s, so 1500s, and he was on his way to his death. He was there killing him because he was going against the church and saying that priests should be able to marry. And he married and has a child. And they were like, he's blaspheming. And he's a faithful preacher. He was a faithful preacher of the Word of God and solid preaching. And I wished at the moment, I've just gone blank on his name. And his wife showed up where they were getting ready to take him to the next town, and she said, we're going to try to be in the town where you go. And he said, I've been faithful in giving the word. And the description of him riding in the cart on the way to the town was as a man that was going to a celebration, and it was a shock to all that were watching. They couldn't understand he's about to be killed, and he is not afraid. And his answer was, his conscience was clear. He said, I have been faithful in giving the word of God, and now I get to go and be where the word is. And he just made, he was joyful up until they took his life. His congregation filled the village, and the congregation were praising God. And his last words were to them, I have given you the word. And I've been faithful in giving you the word, and now I give my blood because I gave you the word. Honor the word. Because his heart was right with God, he was able to do and stand for what was truth. And that's what God wants, is that if we remove our masks, then we can do the things that God's called us to. And in his case, it was death, because he was willing to stand up for truth and not wear masks and the religious rules of the day that they were forcing. We're so glad you're listening. Come back next week.